Bro, I think I made a boo-boo.
Uh-oh.
And I think maybe, I think we're going to start getting some phone calls from the sales guys.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I think I deleted stuff.
It's a bad day when the org chart is in your cube.
Yes, it is.
It is a bad day.
It is a bad day.
Yes.
So, recovery. All right. This is all about recovery, because you know it's going to happen. It happens through mistakes. It's not always, you know, rogue admin stuff. It's easy to make boo-boos. It's easy to make mistakes. And we want to talk about recovery and the importance of recovery. And look, if you're one of those people that is migrating from 2003, please take a look at the new technology sheets on the servers that you're migrating to. Starting with 2008, we have this beautiful mechanism called the Recycle Bin that makes your life a lot easier. We want to talk about all of that stuff. So take a look at my slide here. I'll show you what we're going to do.
We're going to talk about some things also that I bet they've never heard of in this segment. I'm glad they tuned in, because they're going to catch some really cool stuff here.
Well, now you're making me really excited, because I don't want to lose my job. So so take a look at it. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a protect from accidental deletion, the Recycle Bin, and attribute recovery. So, sir, why don't you start us off with...
All right.
Protect from accidental deletion.
Yes, protect from accidental deletion. Accidental deletion is one of the number one causes. It can't be one of the number one, I guess.
I know.
It's either number one or it's not. But.
Okay, but you're the guys that are saying cloud first, mobile first, and I'm pretty sure there can only be one first, but I'll go with
right.
it because I'm one of you, you know, I'll follow the message.
So it's one of the number one.
Right, one of the number one.
One of the number one causes for recovery scenarios is accidental deletion. And then, depending on what time of day it is, it could be worse.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night, you know, something's gone, and you got to involve the storage team, and they've got to restore some tapes and get some servers, and then you got to look up your procedures because you don't have DR documentation. You got to go find the TechNet articles. How do I do that again? And this can be a really bad scenario. So let's take a look at the screen here. I've got some tips for you just to kind of get us started in the right direction. So these are your action steps. It's kind of a summary of what we're going to do. Number one.
Recycle bin.
Turn on the recycle bin. This doesn't happen automatically. When you change your functional level to 2008 R2.
I'm sorry, I have to stop you. Because this is so important, because I used to get this phone call all the time. We just deleted a bunch of stuff by accident and we turned on the recycle bin and it couldn't bring it back. You have to turn it on.
That's a situation with the horse and the cart.
That's the cart and the horse and the chicken and the egg. You got to turn it on now so that when you delete something, you can use it later.
Exactly. So we're going to turn on the recycle bin, which requires force functional level 2008 R2, which requires no more 2003 DCs. Get those gone. And even if you've got all 2008 R2, some people still haven't change the functional level, and they haven't turned on the recycle bin.
And they need to. This is something
definitely
that needs to be done.
Also, there's DFSR replication for SysVol there. It's not going to happen magically. You've got to do it. So, good things. Next is protect from accidental deletion. This is a feature, use air quotes, a feature that we released in 2008 R2, one of those, I can't remember which one.
I thought it was 2008, but I love this.
So what happens is, you check the box in the GUI for protect from accidental deletion.
Which I think it is checked by default, isn't it?
No.
Okay, so.
No, it's not.
Oh, so we need to make sure we check that box. Now, when you guys make an OU, you probably have seen that box. If not, you need to make sure it's checked. I've checked that box, but when you try to delete it says you can't delete it. However, you still can go into, was it the advanced settings or something?
Well, we're going to show you here.
Oh, you're going to show it? Okay.
What's really going on behind the scenes. What makes this checkbox tick?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Next, then, you need to schedule AD snapshots. What?
Isn't that heresy?
Snapshots of Active Directory?
Yeah. Isn't that a no-no? No snapshots?
Now, notice I did not say VM snapshots.
Oh, okay.
Which, by the way, we do handle okay in 2012.
In 2012, that's one of the new features of being able
to deal with. But this is AD database snapshots, which is a feature we released in 2008 RTM. Most people aren't aware that it's there.
Yeah, I'm excited to see
So we're going to show you how to use that. Now, It doesn't matter if you've done all these things if you have not documented your recovery process.
Yeah.
You can have all the features in the world, but unless you document how to use those, you're still going to be in a bad way at 3 a.m. when you got people calling you saying, how much longer is it going to be?
Always, always, always document
right.
your DR.
You've got to document your DR plan, and not just copy and paste from the TechNet articles.
Right.
You need to have your own server names in there with the magic accounts and all that stuff.
Have tested it.
You know, phone numbers, people to call. All that needs to be in there because, you know, some people have a DR plan that goes like this. Step one, call the boss. Step two, call Microsoft.
Right.
Step three, update resume.
Well, see, here's what my DR plan is. There's been an Active Directory issue. Oh, yeah, no problem. Ashley, it's for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So you don't want me coming on site for that.
Well, yeah. I do, but that's
okay. Well, yeah. You don't want to have anybody have to come on site.
Right. No, you
right,
don't.
Right.
You want your stuff documented
yeah,
properly.
So you document it, and then you test it. You practice it. You have a lab where you work through these steps so you know what to do by muscle memory. You've been there, done that in the lab, so when that event happens, you're ready.
Okay.
Just like the Super Bowl, you practice for it all season.
Practice.
Okay, so let's move to the first slide then.
Okay, which is protect from accidental deletion.
Got that. So protect from accidental deletion. There was a great blog post on the Ask DS blog. Let's see, the date on this is 2013, last June. So the Ask DS blog, I'm sure if you're listening to this or watching this and you're an Active Directory person, I know you're familiar with the Ask DS blog on TechNet. It's one of the leading blogs for anything related to Active Directory. So on there, they did one of these, and it was called Two Lines That Can Save Your AD from a Crisis. And basically, this is something that you should do for every, you know, users, computers, groups, OUs, anything that you don't want deleted. All right, so watch this. I'm going to say, new AD user, protect me, please. All right. So I create a new user, and then I'm going to get that user and look at the property called protected from accidental deletion. And we see it is set to false by default.
Okay, I see. Okay.
So even though you're at that operating system level, does not mean that it's already protected. So then what I want to show you is a little magic behind what really happens here.
Okay.
This is so brilliant and so obvious. You're going to say, why didn't we do this 10 years ago, right? All it does when you check that box is it adds an ACE entry on that Active Directory object that says deny, delete everyone.
Oh, you're kidding me.
That's
so
it.
It's adding an access control entry that, and you guys know with Windows, if a deny rule overrides everything else,
right.
And it's adding deny, deletion everyone.
That's it.
You're right. That should have been done Windows 2000.
So let's take a look. When we look at the permissions here on the object, remember we looked at permissions earlier. This is the NT security descriptor object with the access property all blown out for the world to see. And we see everyone in the list here, EVE.
Yeah,
there it is, everyone allow. So we don't have anything in there yet. So now what we're going to do is we're going to say get that user and set.
Yeah.
Protect from accidental deletion to $true. So now we set that user to be protected now. And we view the protected property here is now set to true, protected from accidental deletion. Now we go back and look at that security descriptor access rule. And again, there's a whole bunch of them out there that's inherited. Now we look at everyone. And there it is, the first one in the delete tree, deny to everyone.
I love it.
And that's it.
I love it. And so this also explains why, whether you're using the graphical and checking the box, or if you're using the PowerShell commandlet to protect against accidental deletion, when you try to delete it, it says no, but you have to go in then and get rid of this in order to be able to delete
right.
it, which this in itself right here saves a lot of people from a lot of headaches if they're using it.
Right.
Yeah.
So now what you should do, go forth and protect thy kingdom from junior admins everywhere.
Go forth and protect yourself from all the junior admins in the world. So you can sit there and, oh, I see what you're doing. So get AD user, get AD group, get organizational unit, filter on them, and set that to protect from accidental deletion. Awesome.
Yes, that's all we're doing.
How simple and how nice.
You have to turn it on, right? That's the whole message of this module is you have to turn it on. You have to turn on the recycle bin, protect from accidental deletion, and the AD snapshots. So now this does make it kind of annoying when you go to try to do some cleanup, like we said earlier, with stale objects. Now they're all protected. What am I supposed to do? How do I delete these? So watch this. I'm going to try to delete that, and it says access denied. Yeah, it should. Let's try dash. There is no force on here on remove at, so we can't even do a force on that, okay? So what we have to do then is a two-step process. Get AD user, protect me. Set the protection to false, and then use a pass-through so it takes that same object and keeps it going through the pipeline to the remove AD user.
Now, you could have broken this into two separate commands where you've got the first one being pipeline to set object, and then you did the remove user. But what I like how you did here is this is actually still one line, and that's what the dash pass-through is doing for us, is keeping that object moving through that pipeline so that we could do the remove.
Let's see if it works.
Well, that's true. Let's see if it works first.
Here we go. Hey, there we go. Nice.
Nice. I love
it. So when you go to delete these protected objects, you have to turn the protection to false and then remove it. There you go.
Awesome. Awesome.
And now get AD user protect me is actually truly deleted.
Deleted. Gone.
Yep.
Toast to ghost. Okay. Just told us how to protect objects, how to get rid of protected objects. Talk about this recycle bin thing. I've got a slide for this recycle bin, but the
recycle bin?
Yeah.
Very good. First things first, you got to raise the functional mode of your
to force functional level 2008 R2, right?
Okay. And you know what? We've got a commandlet for that. Check it out. So set dash AD forest mode, give it the identity of forest, and you give it the mode name. In this case, 2008 R2. We're going to not confirm that. And then actually, it's already done in this case. I can run it again, but it'll just say it's done. So now I can see my AD forest.forest mode says 2008 R2 or anything greater than that.
Okay.
And by the way, in the AD Administrative Center, that new GUI console, there is a whole recycle bin enable it on the right-hand side. There's a graphical link right there.
Oh, I remember seeing it.
Enable the recycle bin. So it's there to tell you.
So I remember one of the complaints. That's server 2012, though, right?
Right, 2012.
Yeah, because I remember one of the guys saying, well, why don't we get a little trash can or something? It's like, well, because, no, just go away, kid. You bother me. But in 2012, I remember that it's enabled, that it's in there.
So then you have to, so that's the functional level. Then you have to enable the recycle bin feature itself.
And I think this is the most important thing that a lot of folks don't realize is that it ain't on till you turn it on.
Right.
Yeah.
So then this is one of those things where you don't need to memorize the syntax. Yes, there's this cryptic commandlet called enable AD optional feature, whatever that means. But what you do is you go out to TechNet, you find the article, and you just copy and paste the code and update it. But the code on TechNet is hard-coded to Contoso.com.
Right.
Right, like everything else. Right. Yeah. And it also has some real ugly GUID instead of this recycle bin feature. So the identity of the feature can be referenced by the string name or by the GUID. So they make it as complicated as possible. It's a TechNet article.
It's a TechNet article. Right. It has to be complicated.
So not that I'm slamming TechNet, right? We'd be lost without it.
Oh, no, we'd be lost without it.
So here what I've done is I can run this line in any environment, no customization required.
Because this is all generic, because you're doing a target get AD forest root domain. So that's
whatever
domain this is in, it's going to work. This is also great for lab environments, too.
And I'm going to target the domain naming master wherever that is.
Yep, wherever
I don't care. I just put in the property there from PowerShell.
Love this stuff, yeah.
And so now I'm going to run this anyway. It's going to give me an error. It says, hey, you already did this. Don't you remember? It's already there. So that's fine. I expected that error because it's already been done. So now let's do some accidental deletions. Get AD user. First off, do I have an Al Simon out there? Yes, I do. Alex
Chase. Yeah, I love the description. Please do not delete me.
Yeah, so we're going to set his description. Please don't delete me. Please. Remove.
But you're going to go ahead and do it anyways.
I'm going to go knock him.
You're cold, man.
Yep. Here we go. He's done.
He's gone.
He's removed AD user. He's gone. So now comes a little magic. I want to go see all my deleted users.
So you've got this LDAP filter. Name equals deleted objects.
Right. So let's take a look here. For search base, remember we talked about earlier, there are some of these default, these naming containers. There's a deleted objects container.
Okay.
And so let's take a look. Let's just run that little piece right here. So just run that selection. And you can see it's mapped to the domain /cn deleted objects. Now, I'm going to put a little filter in here that says exclude the container itself from the results, where the name is deleted objects. It's just kind of a little nuance. Property star, include deleted objects. Here's the thing. You can target the deleted objects container and say, show me a list of all of them, but nothing comes back.
Until you tell it to show you the deleted objects. Even though you're in that, now that's an important note right there.
Right.
That's a critical note. Because I'd be sitting there for 30 minutes going, wait a minute. I know there's something in there. I just tested deleted something.
Right. So to make a long story short, we're going to go find a deleted object whose name is Al Simon, and we're going to report back what we found on that user. And what you'll see here is we've got that user with a last known parent, last known address for this user right here. All right. So that means when I do the restore, it's going to put him back where this container was, whatever his last known parent was. Or I can specify an alternative restore location. So here we're going to pipe, we want to grab that user out of the recycled objects and pipe it to restore AD object with a confirm. Are you sure you want to restore this guy? Look, he's got a delete mark in his, you know, all that new stuff there. Yes, I want to restore that person. Now, if we were in the ADUC, we could go look, but now we can just query, hey, look, he's back. He's working.
He's back.
Yeah.
I'm so happy.
He's working again. So let's go take a look at the GUI real quick. If we fire up the ADAC.
Which is really the tool that everybody should start getting used to using now.
Yep. So under the domain, remember, it was immediately under the domain, there's deleted objects.
Okay.
And over here on the right-hand side, you don't see any recycle bin task yet, because I think that's up here at where is it? At the domain level? Yeah, raise force functional label, enable recycle bin over here on the right. You see, it's already grayed out. So now we go to deleted objects, and here's a whole boatload of stuff as I've been wrecking stuff in my lab.
Yeah.
Right? A whole bunch of stuff that I have deleted over time. You know, everything is in there. So I can pick any one of these, right click and restore, or restore to.
And I think this is really kind of important, because in prior versions before Server 2012, really the only way you could do this with the recycle bin was with PowerShell, the way we were showing everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2012, they added this graphical piece to make it a little bit easier on people. But the PowerShell is still, especially if you delete a lot of stuff, I mean, that's going to be a much better way to
go. So let's go back and look real quick now. If I went to the bottom of that Windows PowerShell history view.
Yeah.
So I showed that. And now if you look at the bottom down, you see get AD object dash include deleted objects. Hey. Yeah, all right. And so there's all those other formal parameters that we don't really care about. But there they go. So that's in the PowerShell history view. So I just wanted you to see that there is this graphical interface, and there's no thing in the interface that says, here's the recycle bin. You have to navigate to the deleted objects container at the root of the domain.
Well, but that's not too hard.
That's not hard.
Makes perfectly good sense,
So here's the real problem. We just did a single user.
Yeah.
It's rarely a single user.
Right. It's usually an entire OU.
This is where it gets a little ugly.
Uh-oh.
So if I'm going to whack a whole OU, that means I've got the OU, all the sub-OUs, all the users, groups, everything inside of there.
A lot of different types of objects.
Yeah. So if I just, where do I start? You know, what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to write some code or go find some online. It's pretty popular code nowadays that says recursive restore type operation. So what I'm going to do here is I've got parent containers. Check this out. Last known RDN is the relative distinguished name here. So this says, go show me a list of everything in the deleted container. And then here's their name. You see, I've created and deleted a bunch of these people over and over. True says the parent exists. And here's the old parent, the new users, the users OU, whatever. User Goofy over here. So that what I need to do then for a recursive restore is I have to say, I've got a function called restore children, and I pass it in the parent, and it goes and searches the recycle bin for everybody that has that as their parent, and then puts them back
in there once the
parent's rebuilt. And then you recursively work down the tree. If there's three layers of OUs, I have to go recursively through, find everybody that was a child of this, and then restore them, and then restore all the children of those objects as well.
Actually, that makes a lot of sense. And so this is actually a really usable function. Going through, looking at it, everybody's distinguished name, knowing where they were, finding all of those, building that OU, then looking at anybody's name who was in a sub OU underneath of that.
Right.
We have to build that script, but you made us a nice function to do that.
Right, so here's one called restore children. And I'm going to run that. And I've also got one called Restore AD Organizational Unit.
Okay. Like
so that. We're going to call this function here and the helper function. And notice, let's see, where'd it go? What happened? Let's try it again.
Oh, it's running.
This is weird. Because it's supposed to. Again, I've done this a million times. It's one of those weird things where all of a sudden it's not working because we're on candid camera.
Of course.
So here's my function, restore children. That's the helper function, okay? So I run that and it creates that function.
Okay.
Here's my function, restore AD organizational unit, which goes and gets a list of deleted OUs and then prompts me for if I want to restore them.
Do you have any deleted OUs?
So I create that. And then I run restore AD. All right, so maybe I don't have an, let's do this.
Yeah, delete some.
Remove dash AD org sational unit. And we're gonna say, I'm gonna cheat, I'm not gonna type that long thing. Get AD organizational unit new users. Let's see. All right, rather than cobble through this, let's go find, all right, there's the new users OU.
Oh, there's
and
no
it's,
users
it's empty anyway.
It's empty. Pick something
let's
else.
Let's go find legal.
Yeah, we want to get rid of that anyway.
Let's delete the legal OU with those users in it. All right, here's important, delete subtree.
Yeah.
I'm going to whack everything underneath there. This is the part where your junior admin says he's half asleep and he's, and it's like, oh, I'm scared. If you don't check this, you'll orphan all those and send them to the lost and found container.
Right.
All right, but we're going to pretend that we did this on purpose, and now they're gone. The legal OU is completely gone with all of its users. So now let's try restore organizational unit. Here we go.
Oh, there we go.
So now down here at the bottom, it says, hey, we found this organizational unit called legal with this ugly delete GUID, right? Are you sure? So do you want to restore this OU? Yes. All right, do you want to restore this OU's child objects? Yes. Oh, that was fast.
That was fast and that was awesome because I'll bet you if you go back and look, oh, and that's what you
so let's
do.
Go refresh our view out here. Where's refresh? There we go. Oh, look, there's the legal OU. It's back and the users are there.
Two quick functions and now we can restore even a complicated deletion of an entire OU,
right.
Sub OU's and the things inside of it. I like that. I like that a lot.
Well, we've got a lot still to cover with attribute recovery.
Well, I got a slide for attribute recovery.
All right, why don't you put that
up
there?
Here's a slide for attribute recovery, but now I need you to explain something to me.
What's that?
What are you talking about attribute recovery?
Attribute
recovery.
I mean,
you just brought back users, groups, OUs. What else do I need?
So, data corruption event. We didn't delete it. We just corrupted it. Think about Do you know the attribute I'm going to name?
No, but proxy, I'm thinking of ways address. Go ahead.
Proxy address?
Oh, no, not proxy address.
Right.
Oh.
That's the one that everybody loves to hate.
Yeah.
Corrupted all your email addresses.
Yep. Yep.
Or let's say it's link phone numbers.
Link phone numbers, yep.
You name it. You know, somebody goes in, they're trying to configure something in the GUI, they hit the wrong button, all of a sudden, nobody's phone
works anymore. You know,
crazy stuff like that. Yeah. Right. Or even better, you get one of these automated feeds from HR that populates attributes, and all of a sudden it blows the wrong thing because somebody in HR hit the wrong button.
Exactly. Know? This isn't a deletion human error as much as it is, I put the wrong data in. How do I fix this now?
Right. Because it's not just on one object.
Right, because it's going to be done, because we have this all automated.
In chainsaw fashion.
It's not 50 people, it's not 100 people, it's 1,000 people. So I whack, there it goes.
All right, so here's the thing. There are third-party products. I won't bother to name them. Most people could guess. But there are third-party products that do a pretty good job at this. And they make it relatively painless. But the only problem with that is they cost money.
Okay.
So you've already paid for PowerShell. You got it for free out of the box. Let's use PowerShell and some features built in.
Four easy payments of absolute free sounds good to me.
Yes, let's do it. So attribute level recovery. Now I have to warn you, this is not a built-in feature as far as the code that I'm going to show you. The commands I'm going to show you are a module that I've released on the TechNet Script Center. And this is not the Ashley Show advertising all my scripts, okay? I'm just putting this together as a free solution, as a demonstration to show you what is possible in the realm of Active Directory scripting, okay?
I was voting for the Ashley Show, but okay, fine, if you want the disclaimer.
Yeah, so this is, and disclaimer is right, because I'm human and I wrote the code. But I'm pretty sure it works. All right.
Okay, good. We're about to find out.
Yeah. No, I've tested this lots, and some people have used it, but again, you never download anything without looking at it first and running it before you run your environment. So anyway, it's literally 1,000 lines.
Oh, awesome.
So it's pretty hefty. And so in this module, actually it's not a module, it's just a script function library. For a reason I'll mention later. But so I've created some things called dismount AD database, mount AD database, new snapshot, remove snapshot, repair attribute.
Ooh.
Repair group memberships, show snapshots. So here's the thing. So back in 2008, and you don't have to look at the screen, so back in 2008, we released a new feature called AD snapshot. What it does is it uses the volume snapshot service that we always use for backups anyway, but it just takes a copy of the Active Directory database and its respective files. That's it. So it creates a snapshot backup of just those files. So what, again, it's not going to do that by itself. You have to tell it to. So you have to schedule these snapshots to run on some kind of a regular basis, pick some DCs in your environment, keep three or four of them around just, you know, for good measure. So this is a feature that's built into the OS, but it didn't get a lot of press. There's a couple articles around release time, but it kind of went away. Everybody forgot about it. So this is what I'm going to show you is how to leverage that feature. Now, of course, like everything else, there's a long-winded TechNet article with all kinds of NTDS, util, and scary stuff, on how to create the snapshot and all this. I've reduced it to a few simple commands for you with this PowerShell module. So now we're kind of stepping outside of what's in the box, and you have to go download this module, and you just reference this .ps1 file. You'll get all these functions out, and it'll help you. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to grab my function library, and I'm going to do a .source. This is something that was covered in the PowerShell jumpstart. So pretty sure you guys would have talked about
that. Yeah, yeah. This will make sure, because see, when you run a script, he's not saving it as a PSM1 as an actual module in this case. It's a script, and when you run a script, when the script exits, everything gets cleared from memory. Well, he's got functions. That means they're going to get loaded and cleared from memory. If you do the dot source, which is dot space dot backslash the name of your script, it leaves everything up in memory so you can use those functions.
Right. So what we're going to do then is just include all these functions. and go back to clean up our path, and we're going to get a list of the functions here. So these are the functions that you've got: restore AD organizational unit. Oh, those are the functions I also just created, so that shouldn't be in there, by the way. That's not in, by intention. So let's go take a look then at what we can do. I'm going to do a new AD snapshot. Now, under the covers, when I run this, it's actually doing an NTDS util command to create a snapshot of the database. And the beauty of it is this little function goes and finds the path of the database, creates all that cryptic syntax for the command line, and runs it for you, so you don't have to remember that.
And I don't know if you've used NTDS util to create a snapshot, but it is a rather pain in the you know what. So having him already do the function for it makes it a lot easier, because I have, and it's, you know, it's not impossible, of course. It's just not easy.
So now we're going to show the snapshots, and of course I'm going to put those in OutGrid view. And this is just a raw output from NTDS util. And here's a list of all the snapshots, that a lot of GUIDs and dates there, essentially. And if I go all the way to the bottom, I've got way too many. Do not have 30-some snapshots on your box, okay? That's not healthy. More than a handful is plenty, so you know, not more than that. So here's the date that I created the snapshot. You can see it's there. And I can also view these from WMI with the namespace. It escapes me right now. It has to do with the... Anyway, I have to look at the code. There's a WMI namespace for all the backup stuff.
Oh, I don't remember either. Yeah.
So here's the date of the snapshot. You can see here's the one I took yesterday, today, some other months ago. So, and what I'm going to do then is I'm going to mount the database. And what this does, look, I've got help in there. Isn't that cool? Yes.
Oh, you're so cool.
Nice. Yeah, I'm thinking about you guys. So mount AD database, I give it an LDAP port and a filter. Now, in this case, or I could do first or last. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say mount the database, the last snapshot that I took, and put it on a specific port. Well, I'm going to pick 33389 for my port. Now, here's the fancy part. What this is going to do is I've got in my Active Directory database in production in memory is running.
Right.
It's got a backup copy of the database. It's going to load into memory as a read-only historical copy of the database beside the production database that's read-write.
Okay.
So I've got a read-only copy of the database in memory now. So when I run this, it's going to use an executable called DSA main, which looks kind of scary, right? But it's basically, it's looking, what it does is it mounts the snapshot, first off, and then it points this DSA main at that snapshot. And you'll notice we get little progress dots. Those will continue to count until it's done loading and it can actually successfully query it, so you know it's fully loaded in memory, ready to go. And normally this doesn't take quite this long. Depending on the size of your database and if you're running 8 VMs on a laptop,
yeah,
it can impact their performance, right? So there we go. Now it's mounted the database. Now, do not close this window.
Don't hit the X.
Do not hit the X. That's the process in memory hosting your read-only copy of your data. Now, show AD snapshot again. Let's do the WMI version of this because it shows me right here, there's the snap.
Got it.
That's mounted, and that one is exposed now as read-only copy. Now I can do things like this. Get AD user guest against a server with the port.
So now you can compare. And if data is different, correct.
Yes.
Because you've made snapshots. So let me get this straight. What I should be doing before I make bulk changes, make sure I've got a snapshot.
Right.
If something went wrong with the bulk change, now I have a way out of this.
Yeah. It's still not going to be pretty, but you're a lot better off if you got a snapshot.
This is a lot prettier than getting a new job. So, this is definitely.
So what I can do is I can compare the guest account in the snapshot versus the guest account in production memory right now. So let's corrupt an attribute. Let's say we're going to replace the description with foo. Doop. And now we look at, we can do a repair attribute. We get AD user, we pipe it to repair attribute property description
from
on this
that,
port.
There you go.
So we're going to query this property on this port and repair this user in production. And look at this pretty little PowerShell output. Action is replaced. The object is guessed. And the old, new and old, because that user could have moved different OUs
right.
between snapshot times. So it actually searches by the object GUID to know it
to know
finds it.
If the mistake
even
had
if
been
it was
a move, okay, that's
it
excellent.
Even find it, yep. And
you
so
did
then,
a nice job with this.
Thank
it's
you,
really nice.
Thank you. Yep, and so there we see the property name was description. It was not moved. It was found in the same location. Here's the original value. Here's the new value that was corrupted, so we put the original value back. It was replaced. Now, we're out of time, but I want to do a quick demo here. I could go through and corrupt a whole bunch of user accounts.
No, but this definitely is a fantastic tool. You've given us the process.
Right.
So this is excellent.
So let's come down here to computer accounts and service principal names. This is really freaky. So service principal names, right?
Right.
You mess those up, you're in trouble.
You're in deep trouble.
So let's run, take a look here at the service principal names on this member server computer object. And we're going to grab this into a couple variables just to make it handy. Now, would you ever do a set on the computer and remove a random SPN?
A random SPN. I love the fact
oh,
that you just
man.
Randomly removed one.
One, oh. two, three. Oh, we just randomly removed three SPNs
yeah,
from this
box. Yeah, we're making horrible breaks in the oh boy.
Now we're going to add three random or two bogus ones. So now when I do a compare object on this, the good and the bad, and we do a compare object, we can see that, hey, yeah. look, here are the two ones we just added, here are the ones that were removed, and here are the ones that are still there.
Right.
So now what we're going to do is we're going to say repair AD object.
And it's the same thing that we did with the user.
Get AD computer, repair right. AD attribute, service principal name from
I
this port. Bink.
Bump.
Added. And then we go look at them afterwards, and everybody's happy.
Everybody's
they all match up. True backup. And that's with a multi-value attribute. There was a lot of code that went into that piece of it.
That is awesome. I mean, this whole concept right here is awesome because between the recycle bin and using this for those occasional mistakes that we know can still happen in corruption of data.
Right.
That's
it
that's
gets really even awesome. Better because we can repair multiple attributes. So let's take a look here. Get AD computer, repair AD attribute. And here I've got description, service principal name. I can put 10 parameter property names in there if I wanted and select multiple computers. So if I run this here, and you're going to see there's no change to any of these.
Right.
But essentially, it's looking for new value, old value on the description, the service principal name, the GUID, old new location, the whole thing. So now you can do with one command, you can repair multiple attributes across the whole lot of users, computers, whatever.
You're like a superhero. You're a superhero. Attribute recovery. This has got to be a super hot topic.
Yeah.
I mean, this is something that is hugely important to be able to do.
Yep. And lastly, I don't have time to demo it, but imagine group memberships. Group memberships are just a multi-value attribute. So now your group memberships get all messed up. So now you just mount your snapshot and you go repair those group membership attributes just like that.
So you get all of the code to this. And remember, he outlined the process for you. Take a snapshot. Then when you make changes, if you need to do the recovery, there's examples in here of several different types of way of recovering those attributes. I had not seen anything like this before. You have done an excellent job with that.
Thank you, sir.
It can be the Ashley Show.
All right.
Okay, we'll give you the Ashley Show. So, hope you've enjoyed this portion of the show. I know I have. Now, when we come back, we got our last module. Yeah, and this is a drum roller. DC promo is gone, so now what do I do? We got a couple of really cool things on deploying domain controllers for you.